You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Piper Corp, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program from the Ecological Society of America, where I interview scientists who are involved in ecological policy. Today I'm interviewing Patrick Shuri, one of this year's three ESA Graduate Policy Award winners. So Patrick, you're currently wrapping up your PhD at Notre Dame, but before that you picked up a law degree, which is something that I don't think a lot of scientists do. What drew you to law?
Yeah, so I was a master's student in the Wildlife and Fishery Science Department at New Mexico State University studying the endangered Rio Grande silvery minnow. And one of the things I discovered in studying an endangered species was the importance of the law, not only for managing the species, but for conducting scientific research.
Oh, why is that?
Well, a knowledge of the law gives added advantage of knowing the ins and outs of the legal process, not only knowing how the permitting process works, but also how the law can be applied to natural resources management decisions. And in the end, my goal is to help influence the policy by informing policymakers of how ecosystems are currently managed under the law and ways that scientists can help improve that process by informing policymakers. And so in my experience, I decided that long term, if I wanted to work with endangered species, it'd be very beneficial to have a law degree. So when I went back to law school, I always had the plan on going on and getting a PhD in ecology or in wildlife and fishery science. And so I noticed that the University of Notre Dame had an excellent NSF IGRT program, which is an integrative graduate education and research traineeship, studying the effects of change on human health and the environment. And I knew Professor Gary Lamberti, who's my major advisor at the time, and my interest in working in his stream ecology lab and being able to tie in the science with the law and policy led me to the NSF IGRT program here at Notre Dame.
So since you start applying your knowledge of law at the front end, right, when you're designing the experiment and not just when you're considering and applying the results, does it seem like something that scientists should consider as part of their education?
It seems sort of unorthodox at this point, but I can see people incorporating that into their education.
Absolutely. There was a great editorial in the April issue of Frontiers discussing how there are many lawyers taking environmental law classes that don't have a background in science or engineering. And this is one of the critical disconnects in the formation of environmental policy, is that many policymakers don't have a formal education in science. And it stresses the importance of scientists and ecologists, especially engaging with policymakers to inform them of the current status of the science and how that could be used to make laws more effective for managing our ecosystems.
At Notre Dame, there's a lot of important research going on right now related to Asian carp, which has recently been a big concern and source of conflict in the Great Lakes region. So what's going on with that right now?
Sure. So right now at Notre Dame, David Lodge's lab is currently using environmental DNA techniques to study where the Asian carp have progressed in the Mississippi River drainage north. And some of their findings indicate that the Asian carp have been up against the electric barrier in the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal for the last 2 to 3 years. One of the major concerns is that if the carp get past or are past the barrier, then they could cause substantial economic harm to the Great Lakes ecosystems.
Up until now, people who were pushing to block the spread of Asian carp by closing off the connection between the Chicago River and the Great Lakes, right? So until now, that had been in the court's hands. But since the Supreme Court blocked efforts to close that connection, people are now looking to Congress, where a number of invasive species efforts are already underway. When you were up on the Hill, did the staff you met with seem interested in invasive species?
Yes, absolutely, especially the staff from Illinois and Indiana. Congressman Joe Donnelly's staffer was particularly concerned, and he was very informed on the issues. He stated that there's a lot at stake, both economically and environmentally, in managing for this invasive species issue.
You know, we talk a lot about how in policy decisions, science is just one part of the picture. And I think from the traditional scientist's perspective, it's really hard to appreciate that sometimes because, we have the data. It's clearly pointing to a particular course of action. But then there are also these other very valid economic considerations, social considerations that can point in the opposite direction. So having a law degree then, and coming from that background as well as a scientific one, has it given you more of an appreciation for the complexity or changed how you view the way that we go about setting priorities?
Absolutely. The law degree helps in addressing issues like the Endangered Species Act and the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, because from the perspective of an ecologist, I can see areas of those laws both at the legislative level in the act itself and the administrative level, the regulations set by the agencies, how those laws can have alternative outcomes than what may be desired by ecosystem managers, simply because the laws are set up the way they are.
Since it looks like legislation is going to be the vehicle of choice now for reining in Asian carp, public demand for action could play a much bigger role than it did when it was the courts. So Time magazine has named Asian carp one of the world's top invasive species, right? Do you think a media attention like this could influence the debate?
Absolutely. The media has been very important in addressing the issue. At the peak, there were literally over 1,000 news articles a day on the Asian carp issue. And the media is especially important because the administration has decided not to address the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal as a channel for invasive species. And the Supreme Court has decided not to address the pathway for invasives. So it's really now up to Congress to decide whether, in representing their constituents, whether active changes are needed to how the Great Lakes are connected to the Mississippi River Basin.
A lot of times, especially now, you know, with the growing emphasis on scientists working with policymakers and whatnot, there's a lot of emphasis on working with them directly. But then do you think it's also important to balance that with media outreach to get the public involved, since that's what a lot of policymakers base their decisions on?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's really, really critical that we are simply informing policymakers, media, and Congress. I think it's very, very important that we give them if-then statements. If they want a certain outcome, then this is how they should go about making the law to achieve that outcome. And so that we're not simply telling them this is what you should do, but informing them of the science and letting them know ways that science can improve legislation.
So invasive species, like a lot of ecological threats, raise the question of whether our legal system is up to the task, I guess, of addressing nonlinear change, especially when it's difficult to detect. It moves steadily and methodically, which is important in a lot of situations given how complex a lot of the problems are. But with things like Asian carp and climate change, for that matter, where there's this steady sort of growing but inconspicuous threat that hits a tipping point, and then suddenly the population is established or you have this irreversible environmental change. You hear a lot of Great Lakes stakes now calling for urgency in dealing with Asian carp. I wonder, do you think that's possible?
It's very difficult, and that's why it's important to stress that the administrative branch of government really has the ability to react to these problems first. Congress is going to take much longer simply because of the many interests that each senator and each congressional representative has in their own districts. So there are major challenges dealing with an issue like invasive species or an issue of climate change, because human nature is to deal with the here and now. And we can't change human nature. We can change how we react to different situations. The invasive species issue in the connection between the Great Lakes and Mississippi, it shows that we should address this issue head on, but there are many interests involved. There's an interest in maintaining the shipping, and there's the historical legacy of the sanitary and ship canal taking water away from Chicago because of sewage concerns. So there are multiple issues here besides the impact on the fishery of the Great Lakes.
That was Patrick Shuri from the University of Notre Dame. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us again next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.